Blog Talk Radio.
It's a show about nothing. That's what you could say about our show. This is the Hockey Guys Podcast. It is March 23rd, 2015. Yours truly, Hunter Crowther, and my co-host, Chris Shannon. Chris, how are you today on this beautiful Monday afternoon?
Nah, man, it's Monday. It's not fun, but we'll get through it.
Not bad. Did you do anything exciting for your Monday?
No. No. I lived it up. I lived it like it was a Monday. I slept, and that's what you have to do in life.
Lucky guy. Do you have class today? Like, what do you do?
No, still spring break.
Oh, spring break. Spring break. Is it, where would a kid from Florida go for spring break as opposed to everyone else going to Florida for spring break?
Most people go up north, like Colorado and their hometowns and everything like that, yeah.
Really?
A lot of that type of stuff. Yeah. No one really stays down here. It's all the northerners that come down here. It's crazy in March. Yeah.
True that. Have you, speaking of crazy March, have you followed any of the March Madness the last few days?
I have. This is the first year that my bracket I was actually okay with. I have Kansas going all the way. I'm pretty happy with my bracket so far. I mean, there's still some mistakes, but with my knowledge of college basketball, it was okay.
That's not too bad. Right on. We got a pretty half-decent show today. Our guest today is a New York Rangers beat writer named Sean Harnett. You can follow him at Harnett Hockey on Twitter. Sean does a lot of great work with the New York Rangers. He covers them for the WFAN 660, the legendary radio station down in the United States, and also does a little work for XN Sports, and you can check out his he also writes for a site called davidbacks.com. Pretty cool little blog. And he's actually on right now. So joining us on the line is Sean Harnett. Sean, what's up, man?
Hey, how are you guys doing today? Pleasure to be on.
Oh, not too bad, not too bad.
Pretty good.
Right on. Sean, what have you been up to today?
Just waiting for tomorrow. Obviously, tomorrow is going to be the big day at MSG where Lundqvist has his first morning skate back with his teammates. So it's going to be a big day at the Garden tomorrow.
I'd say, so were you at the MSG yesterday when the Rangers layeth the smacks down on the Anaheim Ducks?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, whenever you think you have this Rangers team figured out, they go and they put on a 7-2 thrashing on the Ducks. I mean, who would have thought that considering the tight checking games the Rangers have been playing lately?
Yeah, Sean, I mean, they've just surprised everyone with, like, when Lundqvist was out, I think people were saying, they'll be good in the playoffs, you know. They just need to make the playoffs. And, I mean, Cam Talbot, he's taken this team under his wing, and he has taken the opportunity and has done amazing. I mean, he's playing like a number one starter. Do you think he was playing over his head, or is this the skill of this player? Like, is he actually going to be a starter maybe next year?
Well, yeah, I fully expect him to be a starter somewhere else next season. I think the Rangers are going to get an offer too good to refuse in the offseason, and you know, if they can get some picks and some young players who can help them in the future, then I think it's probably the best time to trade Cam Talbot. As you were asking me about whether this is a fluke or not, no, it's not a fluke. I mean, I think ever since he came up last season, he showed that he can hang with the best goalies in this league, and he's a true number one goalie, and he works very hard behind the scenes with Benoit Allaire, and really, like, he's really taking this Rangers team to a whole nother level here, and he's kept the seat warm for Lundqvist, and Rangers fans are just hoping that once Lundqvist comes back into the fold, once Kevin Klein comes back in the fold, and Marty St. Louis comes back in, you know, then it seems like they'll be in a very good place ahead of the playoffs.
You mentioned Marty St. Louis, and the Rangers acquired him last year in exchange for their captain. What's St. Louis' impact been like on the team since arriving? We know the story after his mom passed and they went on that magical run last spring. But this year, St. Louis is still a very productive player with 20 goals, 47 points in 68 games. Just talk about St. Louis' spot on the team and how the other players have accepted him into the locker room?
Well, I think his production this season has not been quite what I expected to be. I would have thought maybe he would have been more towards his typical production this season, but he seems to have taken a step back in that regard. But if you look at this Rangers team, like, every guy is willing to sacrifice personal numbers for the betterment of the team, and Marty's just one of those guys. When it comes to his relationship with teammates, he's the kind of guy that younger players tend to hover around and keep a close eye on, especially during training camp. I mean, you're looking at a guy like JT Miller, another guy like Kevin Hayes, who's had an unbelievable season here. You know, these guys have definitely benefited from being around a guy of Marty's experience, and anytime a player gets a chance to pick his brain, they're going to benefit from it just because he has so many things to share and so many little things that maybe a young guy might not be aware of at that age that he can pass on. So, really, it's like having another coach in the room to an extent.
The New York Rangers, I mean, this team, we all knew they were a cup contender after last year's huge run, beating my Montreal Canadiens, which it was a good series. But do they lack a certain – do they still lack something? Or when they got Keith Yandel, the blockbuster of the trade deadline, do you think that really set this team up for a huge cup run and maybe make them a contender for the cup? Or do you still think they really have something they need to finish this cup run?
Well, I think Glenn Sather and the whole Rangers brass definitely looked at Keith Yandel as a missing piece, and when they knew that he was available, they were willing to pay what it took to get him. And, you know, a lot of fans thought at first, you know, giving up picks and giving up a young player of very high potential in Anthony Duclair was maybe a bit more than what they wanted to give up. But when it comes down to it, the Rangers definitely need a guy who could be a game changer on the power play. And I saw last night that Yandel is leading the league in power play assists and power play points among defensemen. So, you know, he's been a guy who's money in the bank every single year. He's the only guy in the league who's been a 40 assist guy for 3 years following the 2011-2012 season. So far, really, though, the Rangers haven't seen his best up until last night. He's had some puck issues, some turnovers issues. So he's kind of learning as he's going along. He's learning a new system. He's learning a new league, obviously, I mean, coming over from the Western Conference. But I think all the signs are there, and I think if both him and Dan Boyle get going, you have a nice little 1-2 punch there on the power play.
You mentioned Yandel, and you just go down their blue line with Boyle, Hunwick, McDonough, Staal, Girardi, and Klein when he returns. This really is one of the deepest blue lines in the NHL. Is there an argument to say that it's right there with the like the Blackhawks and the Kings in terms of just a playoff-built blue line?
I mean, the first team that comes up in mind for me is the Predators. I really like the depth that they have. They have a lot of players who really don't get a lot of credit, Josi being one of them. I mean, that team, for some reason, just doesn't get the headlines, and they're an unbelievable team. And when I look at teams around the league, I think them and the Rangers are the two teams that are above everyone else when it comes to blue line depth.
With the New York Rangers, I mean, they have 3 games in hand on Montreal, or 2 now, and it looks like they'll finish off first place in the Eastern Conference. So they'll either play Boston or Senators. Is there a certain team that you think most threatens New York Rangers going into this playoff run in the East?
You know, it's funny. Looking at things last season, I would have thought the one team that would have given the Rangers trouble would have been the Bruins, and they ended up avoiding them. And as you know, I mean, Tuukka Rask on his day can play as well as any goalie in this league. And despite all their injuries and all the drama that they've had this season, they have guys who step up in big games. You know, Milan Lucic, Patrice Bergeron. I mean, the list goes on. You know, the Bruins are a team that still has a lot of guys who can show up on the big stage and deliver. So it's funny, like, you look at teams that are higher up in the standings, but I think the Bruins could be the one team that could give the Rangers a little bit of trouble with their size, and especially with you have Rask against Lundqvist. You know, Rask could match Lundqvist every step of the way.
We haven't mentioned yet Rick Nash, who a lot of people are saying is having one of the best bounce-back seasons in modern history, and definitely of his career. He's 2 goals off his career high, which he set 11 seasons ago in Columbus. Just talk about Rick Nash over the course of the season. Has he done anything differently in his game prep and his own personal agenda, or is this just something where the shooting percentage evened out and this is the player that we all thought Rick Nash is?
Well, he came into the training camp in unbelievable shape. I mean, he looked like a different guy. I mean, usually when you see Rick Nash, he's this big, burly guy with a beard, but he came into training camp ripped, and he was clean-shaven. He looked like a totally different guy. None of us recognized him. Throughout training camp, he really made an impression on AV with his work ethic. He was just, every practice, just putting in the effort that, you expect the best players in the league to put in. So, really from day one, like, he's been a man on a mission. And you look at the way that he closes down defenders and how he's always trying to poke away pucks and win pucks. And I mean, it's a full effort across the entire ice. Every zone, he's just everywhere. He's on guys like a snap. He's really just impacting everything that they do. I mean, it doesn't even compare to the player that he was in Columbus, considering even some of the fantastic statistical seasons that he's had in Columbus. Like, it doesn't even compare. This guy is playing like a Selke Trophy candidate. And, up until his recent scoring slump, he was definitely among the consideration for the Hart Trophy candidates.
Sean, last episode, me and Hunter and I were talking about the most underrated player in the NHL this year. And I brought up Derek Brassard. He has really lightened the score sheet this year. And he was playing with Rick Nash earlier in the year with Matt Zuccarello, and they were on fire. I mean, that was their top line. Do you think that he could be that number one or number two center? I know Derek Stepan took center yesterday, but between Rick Nash and Kreider. But Brassard, he really has surprised a lot of people, and he's really producing.
Well, as you know, I've been banging that drum for a while. I've been on the, I guess you would say, the head of the Brassard train as far as talking up this guy. I've always thought highly of this guy since he's come to New York. But whatever was going wrong with him in Columbus, he just put it aside. And from day one here with the Rangers, he's been a guy who's been a high-impact player, high-energy player, guy who's shown fantastic playmaking ability. He's improved his face-off percentage year by year. He's just a guy who's driven to get better all the time. And when I talked with Zuccarello and Hagelin in the preseason, they were just saying, like, we've never been around a guy who loves the game as much as Brassard does. And, maybe you look at talent level and maybe he doesn't have the talent level of certain guys in this league, but he's going to outwork you. And the Rangers are very fortunate to have a player like that.
Sean, two former Ranger first-round picks in JT Miller and Kevin Hayes have been decent contributions to the team this year. Hayes just spent the last 4 years in college and has had a very productive season in relative terms, and JT Miller's still developing. Are they on the path that the Rangers expected them to be in terms of where they are at this point in their careers at 21 and 22 years old, or is there still a lot more room for improvement for these two?
Well, just to clarify on Hayes, he was a Blackhawks first-round pick, and his rights expired, and he signed with the Rangers this offseason. So for them, it was like getting a number one pick for nothing. In the case of Hayes, he's really blown everyone away. I think everyone knew that this guy was eventually going to be a dominant power forward in the league. But he's playing like it already, fresh out of Boston College. He's a guy who has very good work habits, a guy who works very closely with associate coach Scott O'Neill in the film room. He's a guy with the right attitude. He's trying to constantly improve his game. And, I mean, he's a handful. I mean, he's got so much size. He's able to make spinorama moves. He really has a lot going for him, and you just think like the way this guy is going to progress in 3 years from now. I mean, he's going to be an absolute beast in this league. As for JT Miller, this camp was really the make or break camp for JT Miller. His first camp under Vigneault a year before, he really got off to the wrong foot. He came into camp out of shape, got an injury because of that, and kind of got off to the wrong start with AV and was kind of falling in and out of the lineup. And last season he was on the shuttle between New York and Connecticut back and forth. But, sometimes circumstance arises. And when Chris Kreider's grandfather died this season, Miller got the chance to come back in the lineup. And really he solidified his place and he's totally won over AV to the point that Vigneault's comparing him to Fouillat. You were talking about Nash on the Brassard-Zuccarello line. And really, last season, Fouillat was playing a big role on that line as a strong guy along the wall, a guy who could protect the puck, a guy who was putting up good production and, you know, making really good chemistry with Broussard and Duke. But now, you know, JT Miller's kind of playing that role in the past couple games, and for two games in a row, Vigneault's brought up the comparison. He says that he sees a little bit of Pouliot in Miller.
Sean, looking at this roster, I mean, there's not much Stanley Cup. There's not many players that have won the Stanley Cup. I don't think of any. Do you think that may be something they lack this year? I mean, going into this huge run, I mean, a lot of teams like to have, before they go into the playoff run, they take in those Sean Thorins and they'll take in those rentals that have had the experience. Do you think this may be an issue going forward?
Well, they didn't add anybody at this trade deadline who have that kind of experience. But, you know, as we said, they added Marty St. Louis last trade deadline, and they were able to get Dan Boyle in the offseason. So obviously those are two guys who were part of Tampa Bay's run to the Cup in 2004. You know, I mean, you look at Marty St. Louis' production, and like I said, it probably isn't where he wanted to be. And maybe part of that is him, you know, just playing a team role and not worrying about individual statistics. But, you know, even if he's having a season that's below his normal rate, he's a guy you want there in the playoffs. He has, like, 83 points in 88 career playoff games. If anyone you want out there in a big Game 6 or Game 7, Marty St. Louis is at the top of that list. And you look at a guy like Dan Boyle and you say, well, Rangers fans haven't seen the best of him yet. Well, you know, this game's rattling off win after win after win, despite getting, you know, the production they want out of a guy like Dan Boyle or Keith Yandle. So that's the thing. I mean, the team's maintained, and they've been so good all along. If they get healthy, which they will, you know, Klein coming back, Lundqvist, St. Louis, and then getting guys like Boyle and Yandle to produce, then, well, you know, maybe the team hasn't hit their peak yet.
It's the Hockey Guys podcast with Hunter Crowther. I just mispronounced my own name. And Chris Shannon. We're joined by Sean Hartnett of WFAN Sports. Last question for me, Sean, and then we'll let you go. And thanks again for coming on today.
No problem.
We'll take a little break from hockey, and let's talk Seinfeld. I know that Chris doesn't like Seinfeld, but that's too bad because I do. Sean, I got to ask you, what are some of your favorite episodes in the show, favorite quotes, just general thoughts on the truly greatness that Chris doesn't understand, which is Seinfeld. Please go.
Well, I mean, you know, it's four friends who are kind of, you know, people who are totally into themselves, and basically they don't care about each other, really. Like, they're friends, but, you know, they'll go and do their own separate things and totally, like, put their friends aside in the show. I mean, the humor of Larry David is just incomparable. I mean, you take these everyday situations and makes it very relatable. I mean, if I were to think of some of my favorite episodes, I think of the Soup Nazi. I think of the Deli Slicer episode where obviously at the photo with George Costanza and his boss, and he went and got it photoshopped at a photo 24-hour photo place. And obviously the results were very funny when he came back as a not the photo of his boss, but a cartoon of his boss. So, you know, they're always getting into odd situations like that. And, you know, it's a show that's very relatable, not just to people in the New York metro area.
It's the greatest show ever. I'm a young guy, and I try to get my friends on it, and it's always the same. It doesn't make sense. I don't get it. But I feel like it's a show like wine. As you get older, you just appreciate the show more. And it's timeless, too. Like, even though it takes place in the late 80s, early 90s, like, you can put that show in any decade, and it's going to be just as funny. Sean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a show about nothing, and, you know, you'll finally understand that once you start watching a couple episodes.
Greatest thing ever. Anyway, thank you for coming on today, Sean. It was good to talk Rangers with you, and we hope to have you back on at some point during the postseason.
Yeah, you got it. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Thank you. That is Sean Hartnett of WFAN 660, the world-famous sports radio channel. You can follow Sean on Twitter, at Harnett Hockey, HARTNETT. Chris, what are your thoughts on the Rangers right now? After, like, they really laid an ass-kicking last night against the Ducks. Like, 7-2, goodness gracious.
Oh, yeah, they dominated that game. I mean, both Anderson and Gibson gave up some beach balls. I mean, they let in some very bad goals. But I'm not taking it away from the Rangers. They dominated that game. And they played against one of the best teams and one of the most elite teams. It just proves that this team is scary. And going into the playoffs, they're for sure the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. I mean, I'm looking at this roster, and there's no holes. Maybe on the defense. And when Klein comes back, I mean, I don't see any holes on it. I brought up with Sean Stanley Cup presence, more players that have won the Stanley Cup. But, I mean, they do have two in St. Louis and Boyle. This is a solid team. And they've got a lot of young players, too, which it's something you want to go off of. And if Lundqvist is going to be Lundqvist, he's going to be the king, which I think, in a way, he's overrated because, I mean, yeah, he won a gold medal, but let's get this guy a Stanley Cup and maybe we'll start calling him the king. But, I mean, this team can go as far as Lundqvist can take him. And this team, they have other options of winning. Other than goaltending, they can score, they can play defense. They're really the team to beat in the Eastern Conference, and you can't really say that about any other team.
No, they've really impressed me this year. And I think the most jarring thing is just how good Cam Talbot's been. And Sean said, he talked about how you could see it develop last season whenever he was called in, and he was just as consistent as Lundqvist. The really jarring stat that I found today, now bear with me, Lundqvist has a .922 save percentage in 39 games this season. Talbot has a .929 save percentage in 32 games this season. And there's a part of me that I really want to know if it's more just off of the small sample size and he's just hot at the right time, or is this Rangers blue line so good that, you know, no matter if you put a good goalie in front of them, they're going to look near elite? Because like you said, Lundqvist has dealt with the overrated calls over the years. A lot of people even questioning why they call him the king, but more a Swedish reference than anything. But, like, when I look at it, like he said, like, Cam Talbot, I'm not sure his contract situation, but I could definitely see him in the offseason being a major trade piece, because off of what teams have seen this year, and especially if he has to be called upon again for the Rangers at some point during the playoffs, he's really looked like a bona fide NHL goaltender.
And the thing is, the goalie market this offseason is very bad. I mean, the best player is probably going to be Mikael Neuberg. And so it pretty much makes Talbot, if he can keep this up, you know, he'll play a couple more games until the season ends. He'll probably be the best goaltender out there on the market. And, I mean, the Edmonton Oilers cannot be happy with their goaltending situation. So I can totally see Edmonton shipping out maybe a couple prospects and get Talbot. But the Rangers, Dan Girardi, I find Ranger fans on Twitter, they're whining about players, but these players are amazing. Like, they're saying, oh, yes, we traded Dan Girardi, when Nick Kiprios, during the deadline, tweeted, oh, it looks like Girardi was traded in the Phoenix deal. And people are excited about that. I mean, Yandel's a great player. And a little fun fact, when Yandel and Ekman Larson were together this year, Phoenix was fifth in their power play rankings, which when your team is third worst in the NHL, that is a huge, huge something to be very prideful about when your team's so bad, and that's how well you're doing. There's questions on that New York Rangers team, but there's gonna be questions on every team. Duclair, it's gonna be a regretful trade. I said that when the deal went down. I think they'll regret the trade if they don't win a cup, because Duclair. You've watched him, I bet, and in the World Juniors, you just saw, this guy is a great player, and I think they rushed him while he was in the NHL, and New York fans were pissed off at him because he wasn't producing as well as they wanted him to.
When you said, unless they win the Stanley Cup, they'll regret that trade, but I think that was the entire point of the trade. Like, not to play a devil's advocate, but I think the tough thing that GMs have to go through, and I think a lot of fans struggle to grasp, is that when you're a team especially the Rangers were last year, they were within two wins of the Stanley Cup, and especially this year where, you can make the argument that they're the number one team in the Eastern Conference, you got to give up guys. And it sucks because guys like Anthony Duclair are tremendous talent. It's this new wave, it's this new generation of hockey players who, I think a lot of hockey players their entire lives were raised on, you got to be tough, you got to be gritty, you got to be all these cliche Canadian characteristics. But I think now there's a little bit more of a promotion of skill. And I think, especially in Arizona, where Duclair gets to be with his World Junior line mate and Max Domi, we've talked about that on other shows, that's going to be really exciting for the Yotes, and especially, you know, McDavid alert, they might have a chance at the first overall pick this year, or even Austin Matthews the year after. But it's exciting. And you know what? I'll give the Rangers credit. You gotta give up talent to get talent. And you know what? So far, I think you can say that Keith Yandle has been a positive player in their lineup. Moving on, we only got about 5 minutes left, but there's one little thing I wanted to touch up on. The Los Angeles Kings have called up Mike Richards? Is that his name? Mike Richards. Called up Mike Richards.
Some guy.
He's got 14 points in 16 games in Manchester this year in the AHL. He's joining their lineup right now. Jared Stoll's out with injury. Quickly, what are your thoughts on what Richards can bring to the lineup? Are they going to ask more of him than a fourth-line role, or is he just going to be the same median player that we saw before he got sent down?
He's still a young guy. I mean, he's 29, 30. I mean, this is supposed to be a spark plug. He's supposed to bring the presence of veteran, a guy who's won, and come bring him in here and let's get this team back on track. But like, when you're Mike Richards, you're kind of thinking, like, you guys screwed me this year. Why would I want to help you guys? Like, you may trade me in the offseason. I don't know if I want to play with you guys anymore. I don't know if that's the right message. And, I mean, maybe it will be. This team is desperate. L.A. had opportunities to come into the playoffs this week, and they didn't do it. And now they're really in trouble. It's like a can of Red Bull. You got to take it, and the Red Bull is Mike Richards, and hopefully it'll work. But you never know. It really may not work. And this New York or this L.A. team, we already talked about it. I don't know. I said they're not going to make the playoffs, and I still stand by that. This defense does not look solid, and Mike Richards, I mean, he's a good player, but he's not going to bring this team to the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't – as much as I've been still drinking that L.A. King Kool-Aid, you know, calling up Mike Richards, it really seems like a desperate move on their part. And I'm not here to bash on the guy because I've watched Mike Richards since his days with the Kitchener Rangers. I remember those wars against London, and he's a tremendous player. And all we have to do is look back to the, I believe, the 2010 playoff run – where the Flyers faced the Hawks in the finals, and Mike Richards was arguably one of the best players that the Flyers have ever seen in a postseason. I mean, the guy is a monster. But you know what? He's got a lot of miles on him. And like you said, he's only 29 or 30 years old. He's from that infamous 03 draft. But, man, you just look at guys like him who were so physical and so dominant early in their career that once they get to that, you know, that age of 30, which still seems relatively young in professional sports, they might have the body of like a 36 or 37-year-old. So in all honesty, I hope he does well. I hope he does contribute to the lineup and bring something to the Kings that can help them get into the postseason. But in all honesty, Mike Richards isn't the player that he was, hell, even 3-4 years ago. And that's too bad. It's too bad.
Yeah. Quick note, can I add something?
Yeah, of course.
So just want to point this out as my Habs fan. Allegiant will like this.
Oh, God. God.
Yeah, so let's point this out. Are we watching greatness right now? Are we watching one of the best goaltenders in the NHL? We are. But, I mean, are we going to see one of the greatest to ever play? Carey Price is 40 wins this year, something lots of legend NHL goalies have not even done. 10 shutouts and leads every category that is counted in the NHL.com and all over the NHL. He leads it as their number one with all the ranks.
You know
what?
I'm
a legend, people. We're watching a legend.
I'm glad you mentioned that. We got about a minute left. I was hanging out with my buddy Pierce O'Leary, who is he writes on the Habs, and you should actually look at his Notre Dame football writing. He's an incredible writer. And he and O'Leary were talking about, because he follows the Habs, and he said those exact words, "We're witnessing greatness." I mean, and I hope fans, you know what, Price has taken a lot of heat. And I remember even after they won in Sochi, people were like, well, he won here, but can he win in the postseason? Everyone's got to shut up because, like you said, Carey Price, holy crap, he really is one of the best goalies I've ever seen. Might be the best goalie we've ever seen in our lifetime. Oh, there's the music. It's time for a little Seinfeld. But like you said, Carey Price is utterly elite. And that's our show for today, folks. My name's Dennis Crowther. My co-host, Chris Shannon. You can follow him at ChrisShannon16. Follow me at Hunter Crowther. And follow our guest today, Sean Harnett at Harnett Hockey. I felt good about today, and I hope that you did too, Chris, but I'm not going to let you talk because I'm going to finish all the words for the rest of the show. Follow the Hockey Guys on Twitter. Go to thehockeyguys.net. Great content.